Hey, church family, it's such an honor and a privilege to just spend some time with you at this moment and to share a little bit about what God has put on my heart and what we have the chance to just encourage and build each other up as we seek to follow Christ. If you're new with us, or maybe this is your first time in a house church, I just want to say, I get it. It's a little different. It's a little weird, but you're so incredibly welcome. We love having you here. My name is Daniel, and I'm one of the house church pastors, one of the elders here for Grace City Church. And it's an incredible privilege that you've taken the time to just come spend a little time with us and just walk a little bit of the journey of what it looks like to follow Christ. That's why we're here. We're just here to seek to know Christ more and to make him more known. And that's why we've gathered. And I love that you're here. Last week, for those who missed it, man, it was an incredible all-church experience. To just hear a little bit of, about Chase the Victory, one of the missions partners for Grace City Church, and to hear a little bit from the heart of Kiki and Tracy McDaniel. If you don't know about that ministry, I want to just encourage you to have a conversation with somebody who was there. So, you know, during lunch or whatever, just listen a little bit about just this incredible testimony of what God has brought them through and how he's using their story to minister to the lives of families who've lost children to childhood cancer, and the incredible good work that God's doing there through them and through the ministry that he's called them to. And that's kind of intentional, right? You know, as we looked at this year, the elders had said, "Look, we want to have a little bit of time where we focus on missions." And so that's what last week kind of kicked off, and a little bit of why we're here and why I have the privilege to sit with you here, because God's given me a little bit of a heart and passion for missions. But I have to confess a little bit to you. You know, I've grown up, I started going to church when I was in my early teens. My father passed away when I was 11. And it was, as I'm sure you can imagine, a difficult experience and came to faith. And I've always understood that as a part of the church, that I was to be serving and being a part of the mission and vision of the local church. And I understood so many of those things. But God has really begun to do something transformational in my life over the past couple of years. See, I always thought I understood the importance and the role of missions and had a good understanding of what that meant. But I have to confess, I don't think I did. And I still don't know if I do. But I certainly know that God has been doing a transformational work in me. And I've shared this with the men's group a couple of times. I am continuing to feel this ongoing burden for the importance of providing testimony to one another. And so that's what I want to do here for just a brief moment is provide testimony of what God is doing in me. Because I believe that when we do that, we not only rightly bring him glory for the good work that he's doing in us, but also we help encourage one another, right? We help to demonstrate, hey, you know what, God is doing this, and whatever you're in, God will do something in you as well. And I think there's an encouragement that comes with that. And so just a little bit about me. I have the privilege of serving, and I've talked about this before, with the International Leadership Institute. And in that process, God has just truly birthed in me a fuller understanding of my calling, my purpose, and the incredible need for the global gospel. And he's given me a heart for those peoples and those nations. And it's been a beautiful transformation that he's done in me. The International Leadership Institute, ILI, really focuses on two things, or a number of things. But the primary focus is we accelerate the spread of the gospel through leaders of leaders empowered by the Holy Spirit. Where the church is exploding, right? Where man, the Holy Spirit is causing revival, and there are more people coming to faith than any other time in their local history, and we're just seeing so much growth. We have, by God's grace, teams there on the ground helping to train and equip leaders to keep up with the incredible growth that the church is experiencing there, and that brings my heart so much joy to come alongside them and help them and keep them moving at this incredible pace as God is just continuing to pour out his spirit and his presence in those peoples. And it's incredible and wonderful to see how, man, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And God's bringing so much harvest and he's equipping so many laborers. And it brings my heart so much joy. And at the same time, on the other end of the spectrum, we see those most difficult, dark, persecuted places of the world. And in those places, to be able to come alongside a pastor who has a small congregation meeting in their home under threat of death or under threat of jail or persecution of any kind, their hearts are heavy and they're worried and they're just seeking help and support. And they want to know that the church around the world even acknowledges that they're there. And so to be able to come alongside these pastors and to love on them and to encourage them brings my heart so much joy and such a deep sense of fulfillment of calling. And as God has done these things in me, and as I was preparing for this conversation in this moment, man, he just really began to open my eyes to some things. See, right at the end of January, a group called Open Doors released a document that they call the World Watch List. And this is a document that tracks persecution in the church around the world. And it showed that last year, some 360 million Christians experienced some kind of severe persecution. And from that, another 5,621, I believe, a little over 5,600 believers were killed for our faith. Were killed specifically because they love and follow Jesus, specifically because they believe he is the hope of salvation. 5,600, that's about one every hour and a half. In the course of our time together during the day, if statistics remain true, there'll be two other believers who are martyred for our faith, what we're gathering to do right now. And as I reflected on missions and I reflected on just some of those facts, I was reminded of Hebrews 13, verse 3, and it says this: continue to remember those in prison as if you're in prison with them. And those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. And as I reflected on this, a real sense of the injustice began to ring in my mind, the frustration. You know, the asking of why? God, why? Like, why am I blessed to not have to worry about that? I mean, if I'm honest, like right now, I'm sitting in a building that's specifically for the purpose of helping to serve Christian leaders, right? I'm looking at a camera. I'm sitting in a room that's completely safe. I don't have to worry about any of those things. There's nobody coming to bust down the doors. You know, I know my family's at home safe. We've got food. We've got water. I have more Bibles than I can count. God, why? And there's a sense, and maybe this happens to you, where when we experience some of these injustices, right? And for me, it's those things, right? Those are the things that my heart feels and senses injustice about. And I believe there's a degree to which every one of us as believers should sense that and should feel that. But sometimes God pricks our hearts independently and uniquely for certain things. So maybe for you, your heart is broken in senses injustice at atrocities to unborn life, and your heart is just consumed with heartache and pain and sorrow over the loss of those incredibly precious children. Or maybe for you, you're sitting there thinking, well, if I think of injustice, I think of the incredible injustices of how people in the church have been harmful and hurtful and not shared the love of Christ with truth, but instead have just been cruel and graceless and unloving to all of those people around. And maybe your heart senses that injustice. I don't know what the injustice you sense in your heart, but I think that together we have experienced what it is to live in a broken world and to sense that injustice and to long for something more. To move from this place of anger or frustration or bitterness or hopelessness, and we're seeking to understand, God, where are you in this? What are you doing? And in some of those moments, you just don't even know what to say. You don't even know what to do. And I'm reminded that oftentimes we can be called to prayer in those moments. Simply having a conversation with God. And when I'm in those moments, I'll sometimes turn to the Lord's Prayer as a tool, as a mechanism to help kind of take my mind from going all over the place and recenter it back on things which are true and right and redeemed. And I come to the verse, I come to the section that says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." I think there are moments where we want to respond and we want to right those wrongs. And I think in the hearts of believers, there's a degree to which that yearning is truly a yearning for his kingdom come. We yearn for his kingdom to come. And maybe you're like, I don't know if I've ever thought about it like that. I want to read to you Revelation 21, starting verse 1. It says this, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling is now among the people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' And he who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" When we see that sense of injustice, there's a part of our heart that's crying out for the return of his kingdom, for the restoration of the broken things of the world. As followers of Christ, I think Jesus teaches us how we can respond and where we're to look to see his kingdom come. So I want to pray, and then I want us to walk through what I think Jesus is showing us about his kingdom come and where you and I have a place. Lord, we love you, and I thank you for this time. Spirit, I ask that you would help my words to reflect only you. God, would you remove every distraction from my mind and heart? God, would you remove every distraction in the rooms right now? That, Father, each of us, God, would hear what Jesus is teaching us, and that we would obey. We love you. Spirit, thank you for being in this place. Speak to us now. It's in Christ's name. Amen. So, how does Jesus call us to respond here? Well, I want us to begin by looking in Acts chapter 1, and I'm going to start in verse 6. And I'm starting here because I think we have an incredible moment where the disciples, right, the 11, Judas is now gone at this point. They've gathered and they have a question for Jesus that we have for Jesus, right? It says in verse 6, they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Lord, at this time, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He's saying, they're going, hey, is this the moment? Is this when your kingdom is coming? Is this the moment that we've been waiting for? And here's what he says. "It's not for you to know the time or dates that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." I think sometimes it can be hard to catch this, but I want us to see this. It says, "Lord, is your kingdom coming? Is now the time for your kingdom to come?" He says, it's not yours to worry about the time. It is yours to receive the power and to be my witnesses. That's your role in the kingdom come. Your role in the kingdom come isn't to worry about the time. It's not ours to know the time, but it is ours to know our calling and to pursue the calling that he's given to us. To be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. If we want to see his kingdom come, Jesus is teaching us that our part in that process is not knowing when, but knowing to whom we are to witness, to know our calling in the process. You are called. As you seek to follow Christ, as you seek to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you are called to be his witnesses. For some of you, I can only imagine. I know the first time I was confronted with that reality, I know my heart went to immediately, God, you might call, but I got nothing to offer. What am I supposed to do? Well, his word gives us insight. See, in verse 8, it says here that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses. See, Jesus teaches us here that calling comes with an equipping. We'll receive power. In Matthew chapter 28, we see this same moment in time captured by Matthew. And I want to read it. It starts in verse 18, and I'm going to read part of 18 and part of 20, because in those parts, we see the promise that Jesus gives. And so in verse 19, it says this, and Jesus came to them, and he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And in verse 20, it says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Brother, sister, you have been equipped. You've been equipped for the calling. You've been equipped for the calling because you have the power. You have you know who has the authority, and you have the presence of God. The power of the Spirit has been poured out on us to be his witnesses. That's from Acts, right? All authority has been given to Jesus, and he's the one who's giving us the command to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. So if we have the power, if the authority is with us and the presence of God is with us, he says, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Brother, sister, let me tell you, you have been equipped. You have the power. You have the presence. You have the authority. Let's not say that those are not enough. But I know for some of us still, we reflect and we go, okay, so if you just work with me, you're going, okay, well, you're saying maybe I'm called and you're saying maybe I'm equipped. I don't feel those things, but God's word is telling me those things. So I'm going to trust his word. It's faithful, it's true, it's trustworthy. Beyond my feelings, I'm gonna trust him. So what's the calling? What's that calling? Listen, this is what it says in the middle of Matthew 28. Jesus came to them, this is verse 18, and he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You are called. You're equipped, and you're a disciple maker. These are things that we have to begin to preach to ourselves until we actually believe them, because God's word is telling us they're true, but oftentimes we don't feel like that. We don't feel like we've been called. We're just going through some motions. We don't feel like we've been equipped. We feel so woefully unable and insufficient. And I think so often we never think of ourselves as disciple makers. We only think of ourselves as someone who's trying to figure it out. Brothers and sisters, you and I are disciple makers. I want you to see this. This is beautiful. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. This is a command. Okay? It's not an option. It's a command. You say you follow Jesus. This is something he's telling you to do. So let's go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Here's the beautiful part. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. As disciple makers, we're teaching toward obedience. It's not about how much you know. It's about teaching what you do know to others and helping them to live it out. You might feel like you have more or less knowledge than someone else about the word. You might feel you have more or less experience in following Christ. And so you might think to yourself, I'm not sufficient. I can't make a disciple. I am not even being discipled enough myself. I don't even feel like I'm following Jesus right. How possibly could I teach someone else? But the reality is, it's not about having all of the knowledge transferred from one mind to another. It's about teaching obedience, which means the parts which you are learning and know and are trying to live out, teach that to someone else and help them to live it out too. We're to be links in the chain, not independent from one another, but being discipled and making disciples. You and I are called. It's not ours to know the time, but it is ours to pursue the calling. You and I have been equipped. We have the power of the Spirit, the confidence of the authority of Christ over heaven and earth, and his presence with us as we seek to make disciples, teaching people to obey all that we know and seeking to know more so we can teach them to obey that as well. But I know some of you, this is probably still hard. Maybe you're sitting thinking, I just don't know. I still have questions. I'm still concerned. I want to read this to you. This is in Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. This is Jesus, risen from the dead. And they still have doubts. There's still confusion. It's not that they have it all figured out. It's not about perfection in this life and in this moment. It's about a daily pursuit of obedience. And part of that obedience is making a disciple. Helping others to obey and follow him as well. And so, as you think about Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth, right? These are circles moving outward from where the disciples were. And in the same way, we can look at that in kind of analogy to ourselves, going, okay, our family, our house church, right? Our community, our workplace, our state, maybe mission partners like Chase the Victory or Herald's Trust in Scotland, right? Another nation, or maybe truly to the ends of the earth. But we've been called to make disciples in each of these spaces. And when we do that, we begin to experience his kingdom come. We begin to see how he uses his people, how he uses his Spirit to right those injustices. Feel the world is broken. I understand. But he's taught us a path forward. He's taught us a way to respond. So my question is just simply this. What would this look like in your life? What does it look like in your life to be a person who's making disciples? I want you to imagine looking in a mirror and saying, I am called to make disciples of all nations. I am called. I've been equipped to make disciples of all nations, to start here in my circle and to move outward from there. I've been called to teach others to obey the teachings of Jesus. to help them along that way with grace, but toward obedience. I think if we each individually were believers who live that out, we'd begin to see his kingdom come in our homes, in our churches, in our communities. I want to encourage you as you take some time with your house church to talk through some of these things. Maybe discuss a little bit of what holds you back. What keeps you from being someone who's making disciples? And be honest, be open. Like, I'm not perfect. I can attest. But I'm continually convinced that the change I yearn to see in the world can only be brought about by Christ, can only be brought about by his kingdom come and the truth of the gospel proclaimed. Let's pray. God, I thank you. God, I thank you so much for this time. Lord, I ask that as discussion happens, Lord, would you guide it? Would you direct it? God, would you ignite a passion for making disciples? A passion to see your name known among every people? And God, would you connect our passion around injustices to a passion for your kingdom come? And God, we love you. Be present in these discussions. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.